and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, how are you?
I'm right, how are you?
I'm not good.
You sounded ropey when I spoke to you on the phone earlier, just to confirm that we were going to be recording at a particular time, and I phoned you up. Yeah, no, not feeling very well. I thought, my God, I almost phoned an ambulance. I almost called a priest, to be honest. Last rites was going to be needed. Are you all right?
Well, I'm having to do that awful thing at the moment where you feel like shit, but you're doing a little broadcast, so you have to sound all perky and happy, but really, I feel like death.
What's wrong? What's going on with you?
Well, do you remember last week I told you I met my little friend?
Oh, your little friend. Yeah, that's right.
And he wasn't very well.
Oh, you didn't kiss him too much, did you?
I kissed him a little bit, but... He told me that he had had this thing for weeks, so I, being a bit foolish, thought, oh, well, you're bound to be past the stage of transmissibility by now. I was wrong.
On what basis are you coming to that conclusion? What medical knowledge are you... Oh, yeah, you must be past transmissibility by now.
Well, I even Googled it, and it said normally for these bugs and viruses, it's about 5 days, to, you know, 10 days tops. And he told me he was in, like, week five of this thing. So I thought, oh, well, I'm bound to be fine. So... Yeah, I got infected there. So then I've had this tickly throat, cough, very phlegmy. This horrible thing going around. I think everyone I know has got this thing at the moment. And then the other day I woke up and I couldn't open my eyes. And I thought, I've gone blind. I thought, what?
Couldn't open your eyes?
What's happened?
Mrs. Ben glued them shut.
No, nature. God had glued them shut. I've basically managed to then, on top of all this ailment, get conjunctivitis in both eyes.
Oh, wow. I've had conjunctivitis in the past. It's quite irritating. Very
itchy.
And, it does tend to glue your eyes shut.
Yes. And not only that, but it sort of gloops up your eye very slowly over a few hours. So you got convinced for a minute you're going blind with something again. It's not nice. And you have to keep rinsing your eyeballs out. I don't really like putting things in my eyes. So, yeah, I'm not off to a good week, really, mate.
I'm sorry to hear. I mean, how are you having to put... I remember having conjunctivitis when I was a kid. And I think my mum had to put eye drops in my eye. And I hate, like you, I hate anything going in my eye. I recently had to put some eye drops in. I don't think many of the eye drops actually made it into the eye, because you instinctively close your eye when there's a drop of liquid coming towards it. So I don't think that worked very well. I did have to go and have a thing done last year at the hospital where they check your eyes and they put some chemical in your eye, and then you have to go off and sit for about half an hour before they can take some photographs of the eye. I didn't like that, but the worst thing about it was not the drops. I thought I'd been quite manly with the drops. I kept my eyes open. I didn't complain. I made out it was no big deal to the doctor doing it. I just was like, this is drip away into my eye, mate. Don't worry about it. But the weird thing was, this had a real effect on the way your eyes received light. And it did say in the bump that you received beforehand about, if you're going to drive, not that I was driving, but it said you might want to wear sunglasses afterwards. But it didn't say if you were walking home, you might want to wear sunglasses. And by the time I got home, it was really weird. I walked into my house, and I don't know whether it was the difference from walking out of sunlight into my house. Everything went green.
Oh, dear.
Everything had this green tinge to it, and I started to feel quite dizzy and groggy. And I had to go and lay down for about an hour, just with my eyes shut, because everything went green.
Do you remember when we were a bit younger, and you know, these things didn't really happen as much? And now I feel like I'm... And I know you're even a bit older than me, but I feel like we're falling apart these days.
Well, you've hit your mid to late 30s now, mate. It's all downhill from now on.
God, imagine being twice this old.
I was out the other day, and I was with some people, and it came up, it was like, all people talk about now are their ailments. And I think, I think you do hit that age where you've all got different ailments. None of them, thankfully, touch wood, really, really serious. But you've all, you know, most of my friends, we're all on some medication for something. So I mean, we all talk about it. Go, oh, you on that one? Oh, yeah. You know, how much are you on that? 5 milligrams? Oh, I'm on the 10. On the 10 milligrams for that one. It becomes a bit of a competition in the end as well. So, well, I take 7 pills a day. 7? Oh, it's nothing. I'm 14. So it's only going to get worse from now on, mate. It's just...
Oh,
just,
fantastic.
It's just bottles and potions and pills for the rest of your life.
Oh, brilliant. And I've heard this thing can last for the weeks, this throat thing. So Yes, you see, I'm already coughing. If I do sound ill, thank you. If I do sound, and I can't be. It's not unprofessional to be ill.
Unbelievable. coughing and spluttering all over me. Unbelievable.
I would actually say that it's more professional. But a real trooper shows up for work even when he's ill. That's what I'm doing right now. I could have been this off and thought, sod the listeners. I'm not doing it. Wow. But I'm still here.
I'm grateful that you're doing this with me today, Ben. Because what I did, as I say, when I phoned you earlier, it was. Didn't sound good.
So, enough about my ailments because people don't really want to hear about it. How has your week been?
So my week's been quite exciting.
Oh!
Because obviously it was your birthday last week, but this is a time of year where I'm inundated by birthdays. It's left, right and centre. Birthday here, birthday there. I have to keep on top of it all. And so over the weekend I had three birthday celebrations to attend.
Three, wow.
So I had my mum's birthday, then I had my mate's birthday, and then my brother has, I don't think he'll mind me saying, he's hit the big 5-0.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Now that makes me feel old. I don't like to think of, I've still got a few more years, but I don't like that my brother's turned 50. But we had a very special day to celebrate his birthday. We had a day at Brands Hatch Racing with hospitality. We were VIPs for the day, Ben. I don't think I've ever been a VIP before.
I just want to cast your mind back to last week when I told you how I went out for a nice piss up in London.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe what you said to me was, thanks for the invite, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
So, likewise, this sounds like a lovely day out.
Not my birthday, is it? I mean, I didn't want to say it, but my brother can't stand you. I said that Ben would want to come. He went, I listened to that podcast. Couldn't bear to be near him. And also, he'll be coughing and spluttering all over me.
That is true. But bringing the living dead with you for a day out, yeah.
But it was very exciting because it's years since I've been to any motor racing thing. I used to go quite a lot as a kid. We're in the Silver Hospitality Suite. You turn up, there's breakfast all ready for you. And full English as well. It's not like, just a bit of cereal. It's the whole kit and caboodle. Oh.
Love
as much as you want, right? You have tea and coffee on tap. And you just sit there inside. You're waiting for the racing to get going. And then just as the racing gets going, it's then lunch. It's like a two-course meal appears.
This sounds fantastic.
And there's afternoon tea comes in. But on top of that, you've got all the racing going on. And it was lots of different kinds of races, but the main events of the day were the truck racing. I remember going once as a kid and it being very exciting. And these are big old vehicles. You don't think of them racing, do you?
No.
But the only thing about it was in the afternoon, it chucked it down with rain. It sort of makes the day more exciting because the racing becomes more dangerous. Now, you don't want anyone hurt, obviously. You want the safety of the drivers to be of top importance. But a lot of the racing becomes a bit processional. You've got the one out front, he's doing laps beyond everyone else, and the rest is just following. And you sort of think, yeah, it's an interesting race. But then the rain comes, there's trucks going off left, right, and centre.
That does sound quite exciting, though.
Mm. Oh, it's very exciting. The only thing is, though, then they have to stop the race while they clear the trucks, and that takes ages. I did think with the truck racing, rather than having to stop the races to get the trucks off, right? And I know you got to think about the driver's safety. And surely in 2024, you could have the drivers operating the trucks from somewhere else, virtually driving the trucks. So if one comes off, just leave it. Because then if another truck goes into it and smashes it to smithereens, it doesn't matter. It makes it all more exciting, doesn't it?
It does for you, not the person who's got to pay for the car, though, or the truck. That's going to...
Oh, they're pissing money away left, right and centre, these motor racing people. Doesn't matter, does it? Just smash them up.
That does sound like a fun day out. But I must say, I'm not all that bothered. This is probably another reason I wasn't invited. I'm not all that fussed about car racing and motor racing and things. But, I mean, you had me at Luxury Suite with a complimentary breakfast. I was there.
When you look around the room, you can see people that aren't interested in the racing. They've they've come along for the day with someone else, and they're just, I mean, I do think if you're going to go to that, at least pay attention to what's happening on the circuit. The people are just sitting there on their phones. Like, what is the point if you can do that at home?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a lot cheaper to go to a Wetherspoons, I imagine. You could have had a fairly cheap breakfast there with, exactly. and looked at your phone.
Couldn't understand that. The other thing I thought they could do to really sort of zhuzh up the truck racing is actually put, because it's only the cabs that drive, it's actually put the big containers on the back. I think having full-on juggernauts with cargo, that would make it even better, wouldn't it? Because they'd tip over, stuff would be falling out, the trucks. Again, it would make it far more interesting if you suddenly then got a shed load on the circuit.
For someone who said they didn't want anyone to get hurt, you are ramping up the danger. And two, I think being a driver in it does kind of add to the element of excitement. You know, you don't really want them driven virtually, otherwise you might as well be watching Skelextrix or something, just little toy cars going around a track, and maybe they crash now and again.
The other thing we saw was a some junior race, and they said these are, I think they said age, it was either 13 or 14 to 17. Can you imagine 13 or 14 being in charge of a car going around a race circuit? I mean, these kids obviously have been trained. They've been doing it since they were young and go-karting or whatever. They've worked their way up. But, I mean, I wouldn't have trusted myself in a car at 13. I barely trust myself behind the wheel now at that age. And they're on a race circuit. It was quite something to think that these young kids are so good at driving and racing.
How exactly do they get around the law? Or is it because it's private land they can do it? Or
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, I guess it's they're not on the road, are they? I think you can... I'm going to throw this out there. I think if you're not on a public highway, anyone could drive a car anywhere.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know how true that is, but I'd imagine you could.
I would have just thought it was good sense in general not to trust a 13-year-old boy with a full car, because I was a 13-year-old boy once. I was a fucking idiot.
I think you've really got the instinct, or you haven't, because you see them. There was a couple of them, like, where they come around a corner and they start, the car starts to wobble about. It looks like they're going to lose control, and then they get it back. And you think, God, I'd panic now if that happened to me. I remember once hitting a bit of ice on the road. God, I panicked. Like, you know, you sort of think, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just turning a wheel. Luckily, I didn't go into anything. I was able to stop the car. But the panic that comes into that, but again, I suppose if you're trained, so like anything you're trained for, isn't it? You know, you can find the inner calm you need to correct any deficiencies.
There's that rule, isn't there, that you're supposed to, this is exactly my problem. I can never remember if you're supposed to steer into the swerve or steer out of the swerve. I think it's steer into, but I guarantee you if I started swerving, I would forget this information immediately and just panic blindly.
Yeah, I think you do steer into a skid or a swerve, don't you?
Something like that.
But I'd probably just, I don't know. I kind of get the feeling if it was me, I'd do something completely wrong and I'd end up rolling the car. I'd end up on the roof somehow.
Well, you'd entertain the spectators at least. I mean, you'd be thrilled if you were watching it, wouldn't you?
I was just talking about the main road round here. I wasn't talking about the circuit. Now, Ben, as we record this, yesterday was April Fool's Day.
Yes, it was. Did you get caught out?
I did, sort of, very briefly. I was, we were sitting in the hospitality suite at Brands Hatch, just chatting away. and my brother started talking about this boat that's quite a well-known paddle steamer called the Waverley. Have you ever heard of the Waverley?
I can't say I have.
Well, if you're into boats, it's a big deal. But it's got these famous red funnels. And they put out a picture to say that they painted them golden for some anniversary of, I think it was to do with a pound coin or something. It was some weird thing. And for a moment, me and the rest of the group went, oh, I don't know about that. They're famously red funnels. And then someone said, you know, think of the date. Oh, it's an April Fool's. Now, it's quite a niche April Fool's gag. You've got to get people
really
on the boat. But I was caught out very briefly.
Because I think to get a good April Fool's gag in, it has to be quite outlandish. If you tell me something which is very, very plausible, And then you've just lied to me and said, hey, this boat you've never heard of has had its funnels repainted gold. I go, okay. I mean, gotcha. It's not a good one, is it, really?
My personal favourite April Fool I ever did. Oh, well, two. We did one on the radio where you were stuck in a lift. That was the whole idea. I think we played a clip on the podcast a few years back. The other one I did was years ago in about 2000. I think it was about 2007. This was when I was doing hospital radio. I came up with the idea that a nurse at the hospital, who was also an amateur astronomer, had discovered a new planet in the solar system.
Now, and that is an April Fool's joke.
And NASA were going to allow her to name the new planet. So I got a friend of mine to pretend that she was in America. She was the nurse, and she was just about to go to the press conference where NASA were going to reveal the name of the planet, right? And another friend of mine who played an astronomer, supposedly from the Greenwich Observatory, and we did a whole thing about that. But then the cherry on the icing on the cake was I got Sir Patrick Moore to endorse the story.
Now that is a proper April Fool's joke. You've got an outlandish claim. You've you've not just told someone some bullshit. You've gone to the effort of making a radio program about it.
Yeah.
Enlisting a celebrity to help back up the lie. That's brilliant.
Because the thing about Sir Patrick Moore was his phone number was readily available and his address, right? I didn't have the guts to just phone him. You can't just phone Sir Patrick Moore, even though his phone number is there in front of me and publicly available. I can't phone him. I thought if I could find someone who had the balls to phone him for me, then I would. And what we did in the end, I got a friend of mine to help me. We wrote a letter to him. I didn't think I'd hear anything. I just thought, we've sent the letter off. He's Sir Patrick Moore. He's a busy man. He's not going to want to deal with some nobody dickhead who wants to come up with. And then I think it was literally about 2 days after I'd sent the letter, there was a message on my answer phone. It's like, hello, this is Patrick Moore. And I was so excited. He was like, yes, I'd love to do it. Love to do it. And, but the only thing was when I phoned him up to record the interview, he had sort of forgotten about it because he went, who's this? We spoke the other day. Went, yes. And he gave you a quick interview where he just backed everything up.
Oh, how lovely. I mean, I'm not surprised he forgot. He seemed like he was of a certain age for as long as I ever knew him. He was quite an elderly gentleman, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he was pretty old by then. But he was with it. I think he was just a busy man. I think he had other things going on, you know. It wasn't like he was just sitting around and he'd forgotten. It was like he things to do, xylophones to play, planets to look at, to do.
The only way this story could be better is if Sir Patrick Moore had actually pranked you by agreeing to, you know, he left the message on your answering machine and then, you know, pretended he had nothing to do with it when you called him back. That would have been an even better end to this story. But as it goes, that is a hell of an April Fool's joke.
So were there any that you saw yesterday that almost got you?
Well, there was one story which I think turned out to be real. I just think I'm so used to the terrible state of the country at the moment that I saw on the BBC, millions get a pay rise as the minimum wage increases. And I briefly thought that might have been an April Fool's joke, but I think that might be real.
You know, I think that is real. I don't think that's an April Fool's joke, mate. It'd be a weird thing for the BBC to put out as April Fool's, that, wouldn't it?
So I looked up some of the sort of more historical April Fool's jokes, and I saw a fantastic one. Not just because of, I mean, it was a bit silly, but the longevity is what I respected about it. There was a guy in Florida who put on giant sort of lead penguin-shaped shoes and marched around a beach in Florida. And for not for just 4 days, not 4 months, for 40 years, wow. People in Florida thought there was a 15-foot penguin on the loose.
Wow. It's mad that people would believe there was a 15-foot penguin, but I would imagine with the passage of time, you know, it's a bit like the Yeti, isn't it? Does it exist or doesn't it? We don't know. People find footprints and go, well, that belongs to the Yeti. So it'd be the same thing, wouldn't it? All these footprints appear and people go, well, is it a 15-foot? We've not seen it, but there are footprints. And over time, that's then passed down to the next generation. Then it becomes just a thing where people go, oh, yeah, no, that's the 15-foot penguin that's somewhere. It's rather elusive. but it's definitely around.
The other one I quite liked, although I thought was quite irresponsible, was villagers were very panicked to see a volcano pluming out black smoke from the top of it. And so they all started fleeing, which is understandable. But then on closer inspection, somebody went up. I don't know who this brave soul was, but somebody went up to check out what was going on. And someone had dragged up some tyres, car tyres, to the top of this thing, set it on fire to create the black smoke, and spelt out April Fools with all the tyres.
Wow. And that's quite a feat to get that.
Isn't it?
Get those up a mountain to the top of a volcano. That's commitment to the joke.
It's also probably some sort, I don't know what crime it, that, but that feels like it should be a crime, that one, don't you think?
Yeah, I think if you're scaring villages and causing evacuations, that's pushing it a bit too hard. But you've got to, I like the commitment. I think people that are committed to it, like the penguin footstep guy, it's like the, you know, the guys who finally admitted. Again, this was years. I mean, we're talking 40, maybe 50 years of doing it, admitted that they were behind the first crop circles and that they did it for years. Not even his wife knew. I think at one point, his wife thought he was having an affair because of the mileage that was being put on the car without any real explanation. But he was driving out to fields and putting crop circles down at night.
Now, the thing is, if your wife started questioning you, are you having an affair? Because I've noticed you're going away for a long time, and your best excuse for that is crop circles. That's not going to be believed either, is it?
Probably not. But, you know, these are the things. I mean, the sort of spoofs and pranks that go back in time. I mean, there was the famous one from the 1920s, not an April Fool's gag, I don't think, but the famous photograph of the girls with the fairies at the bottom of the garden. People thought that was real for years. And I think the girls involved, I don't think they admitted it was a hoax until they were well into their, you know, old age. I think they finally admitted the whole thing was like a very early Photoshop type scenario.
I do really appreciate commitment to a joke. It's a shame that our little me stuck in a lift joke had to end because they wanted me on air the next day, so I couldn't really follow that one through. But
I think if you're doing an April Fool's thing, I'm not particularly superstitious, but there is the thing that by midday it has to be done and dusted, isn't it?
Oh, is there? I didn't know that rule.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a thing like by it's. I don't know if it's unlucky to carry it on after midday, but there's a cut-off point. It's like by midday, all April Fool's gags done and dusted, all admitted to. Let's all move on.
Oh, I didn't know. I'll have to remember that. But yeah, there was someone you said earlier about that you didn't think the BBC would do that sort of joke about the minimum wage going up, and maybe they wouldn't do that one, but they did. I think the BBC did quite famously do one about a spaghetti tree,
a panorama back in the late 50s, early 60s, something like
yeah.
that.
It was when pasta was quite new, especially to the UK, and they put out this documentary about people cutting the spaghetti growing from their trees, and people started getting in touch asking how they can plant their own spaghetti trees, and so really,
it's one of the most famous April Fool's gags in Britain that has ever taken place. I mean, it's famous. And I suppose the thing is, if people didn't know what spaghetti was and the BBC is telling you it grows on trees, you go, oh, yeah, so it does. I've got a feeling that Patrick Moore told me that years before he'd been involved in an April Fool's on the BBC. It was either a panorama, but I don't think it was on the Sky at Night. I don't think the Sky at Night would be the place for an April Fool's gag, but I think it would have been a panorama. I'm sure he told me he'd been involved in something previously. So, I mean, yeah, the BBC will do it. I think the thing about the minimum wage would be that would almost seem cruel to tell people who are earning shit money that you might get a little bit more, and they go, not really. There were lots yesterday that passed me by, but have since come to light as April Fools. There was one about wild bears roaming through Cumbria. The things you hear, lots of things about wild animals out and about. Bears in this country, not so much. But I mean, do you believe in like wild big cats in the UK.
What's that famous one? Is it the Beast of Bognor, is it, or something like that?
Bodmin. The Beast of Bodmin.
Bodmin, sorry.
That could be like a puma or a jaguar or something. But often there's always a blurry picture in the distance. You think, it's just a cat. It's just a cat. But I speak to people who say, no, there are wild big cats in the UK, but they're very elusive, and occasionally there's a sighting. I'm not sure I believe it.
No, it's usually a very out of context, close to the lens than you might think cat, which appears to be sort of huge when it really isn't. It's just a very bad photo. And that's always the thing, is why is it these photographers are so blurry all the time? Isn't that convenient?
Well, it's helpful when there's like the one of the Yeti. It's always blurry. It's always and these days your phone will give you a good photograph. These guys always manage to take a shit picture as well, don't they? Oh yeah, it could be the Yeti, couldn't it?
The only problem I have with April Fool's jokes is that I think they are a little irresponsible from trusted news organisations like the BBC. I'm not sure they should be doing it. And for example, your bears in Cumbria story, if there'd been some old deer in Cumbria that had got knowledge that there were bears on the loose and had spent all day barricaded in a bathroom sobbing, then that wouldn't be quite as fun a little story anymore, would it?
No, it loses its humour when someone's terrified half to death, isn't it? Yeah, no, that's. But I suppose it's a game you have to play. It's a risk that you take as an organisation when you take the decision to do that sort of April Fool's show. I mean, often they're a lot about products, aren't they? You often get, I think, yesterday Wix said they were going to reveal a silent drill as a new product. I think instantly you go, nah. I mean, you wish they could make a silent drill, but it's just not possible to make a drill silent.
Yes, that would be nice, because then tradespeople could hear the radio, which was has always been a bit of an issue for me, wondering how they do that, but there you go.
There was also, I know this would be great, if you could get hold of this, is this was a genuine thing. It was an estate agent's bullshit detector app.
Really?
So the story went out that a company had developed an app that you'd have on your phone or your tablet, and it would beep the moment it hears any misleading speech from an estate agent. Now, I think that would be brilliant.
I think the app would be going off constantly, because I've had the misfortune of dealing with estate agents, and I found everything they said to be a lie or some not true statement of some kind.
Yeah, but how can you tell if an estate agent's lying? Their lips are moving. That's all. Adidas, they came up with one yesterday. They said they were releasing a new shoe called Box Shoe, and it was basically shoes that looked like the box the shoes come in. I mean, that would be very hard to believe, I think. A sort of blue shoebox style bit of footwear.
The thing is, though, mate, with the world we live in, if Kanye West walked down the street wearing these shoebox shoes, that they'd sell out tomorrow.
I know. By the way, you can't call him Kanye West anymore.
What have I made? Some sort of terrible faux pas? What do we call him these days? I haven't caught up.
He's made it very clear that he's now just Yee.
Yee. Okay, I do apologise, Yee. I'll bear that in mind.
He's just Yee now, and he's made it very clear, because he got really annoyed recently that people hadn't got the message, because I think he changed his name a while back. But basically, people keep going, Kanye West, Kanye West. And he issued a statement recently going, can people please just get it to the heads that I'm now Yee. He's such a dickhead. And I'm going to call him Kanye West just to annoy him.
I also can't keep up with what we're supposed to call Puff Daddy these days. P. Diddy, Diddy. But I think, to be honest, at the moment, that's probably the least of his worries. But
A couple of others I saw yesterday. Toilet paper company, who gives a crap, said that they'd launched...
Is that really the name of the company?
There's actually an advert on telly for them. Have you not heard of them?
No!
They produce sort of environmentally friendly and sustainable toilet rolls, and they're called Who Gives a Crap. I mean, it's a weird...
You see that? That could be the April Fool's joke on its own.
On its own, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they went a bit too far on their April Fool's, because again, it can be outlandish, but I think it has to be believable.
Yeah.
And I don't think a fairly new startup toilet roll company would have the financial means to do what they said they did, because they said they'd launch a toilet roll to Uranus.
Now, you see, that's a good gag. It's harmless. It's funny.
It's a lovely bit of wordplay.
Yeah, I like it.
It's got them some coverage. You know, it's got their people talking about them. You've never heard of them. Now you might go and buy their product.
I think I might. Who gives a crap? I'm going to look out for that.
Talking of things from space, Ben, and as we said, not all April Fool's pranks land well. Back in the 1980s, Richard Branson, that old well-known prankster, he basically did this thing where he put up an oddly shaped object into the sky with flashing lights all above the M25. So motorists were stopping on the motorway to get a better look at this UFO. The police were called. The motorway was sort of at a standstill.
Good God.
The police weren't impressed.
No, because I tell you what, you can look at that story again. Again, this is my only problem with these things is that you can look at this two ways. Richard Branson in UFO hoax is quite of a nice April Fool's joke, kind of a decent story. Richard Branson calls his 19-car pile-up on the M25, 14 dead. That's not so much of a nice story, is it?
April Fool! Now, one thing I did see this week, Ben, that wasn't an April Fool's, although you could be excused for thinking it was this incredible story about Alan Titchmarsh. Did you see this?
I have no idea what you're talking about, no.
So
I'm intrigued. I haven't heard anyone mention Alan Titchmarsh in about 20 years, so this should be good.
Well, one of his old programmes, Alan Titchmarsh's Garden Secrets, is a programme that is allowed to be watched.
What's the secret where he's buried someone? Oh dear, sorry Alan, it's only a joke.
So the secret is he hates gardening.
No he doesn't.
No, that's his secret. Alan Titchmarsh's garden secrets: I hate gardening. That's the program. Spent 70 years pretending I like gardening. Fucking hate it. I go around, I kick people's plants in. I go around vandalising gardens. I was responsible for the Blue Peter Garden vandalism in the 1980s.
Now, do we need to throw in an allegedly here, or is this just a joke?
I think we could say that he didn't.
I think it's safe to say that's just a joke.
Well, anyway.
Although it's a very funny rumour to spread.
Alan Titchmarsh's Garden Secrets is a programme that is allowed to be watched by the population of North Korea. It's seen as a wholesome program.
I can't see anything wrong with it. Yeah, that's fine.
But he was censored in this program. It's quite an old program, but it's been shown in North Korea last week. And the North Korean authorities decided to censor something about Alan Titchmarsh.
Okay. I'm wondering what he said that could have caused offence. He's probably the pin-up boy of non-offensiveness. So what's Alan done?
Well, it wasn't anything he said, wasn't anything he did, but it was something he was wearing.
Okay.
He was wearing jeans, and they basically blurred out his legs, because jeans are a symbol of Western imperialism in North Korea. So
Blimey.
They can't show denim jeans in North Korea. So Alan Titchmarsh looked just blurred. Like, it looked like he was probably nude from the waist down, because it was just all blurred out. So that, in my mind, is even worse, that people in North Korea are watching. They're going, oh, are we going to watch? Kim Jong-un says it's all right. We can watch this. It's fine. It's a lovely gardening program. Jesus Christ, Alan Titchmarsh is stark bollock naked from the waist down. It's unbelievable. Maybe that was his garden secret.
Maybe he's keeping a big secret. They went to blur it all out.
But I just thought that's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, Alan Titchmarsh said it's given him a bit of street cred. I guess it would.
Really?
If you were censored by North Korea, that would give you a bit of street cred, wouldn't it?
Bless him, Alan Titchmarsh walking around thinking he's got street cred.
But it's amazing the things that are censored and banned around the world, isn't it? You know, you often come across TV shows. I mean, there are things that are quite rightly changed now, or at least you're warned about things that have language from a certain era or attitudes from a certain era, which are no longer deemed acceptable, and you get a little message comes up, because this program may contain language deemed acceptable at the time.
Yes,
that
yeah.
That sort of thing. Go, okay, this program's got racist language in it. I'd rather that than the meditate in some ways. I always think, just give us the information as it was, tell us it's there, and then we can judge it on its merit one way or another.
No, I agree. I don't think people need to be coddled too much. They can make their own decisions on what they feel about things. And if you're that bothered by the concept of it, then just simply don't watch it. Turn it off.
But around the world, things are viewed differently. The Teletubbies got into trouble a few times and were banned and censored in other countries over the years.
I'm trying to think why. I mean, the only possible reason I could think of was one of them, because they have different shapes on their heads, don't they?
Yeah, I think they're
like
they
a circle,
different.
A triangle, and I think one of them looks a little bit possibly phallic, if you're that hysterical. You could be offended by that sort of shape or look, but I can't imagine why the Teletubbies would offend anybody.
Well, there was one episode in particular that was particularly controversial. It was banned in Poland, amongst other places. Well, the episode involved a lion on wheels chasing the Teletubbies. It was like a cardboard character lion. Children were apparently left scarred by the sort of independently moving limbs of the cardboard lion. There was also scary voices. There was a chase sequence towards the end, which supposedly scared children, and not age appropriate music for children. I mean, what does that mean? Is it some sort of like horror type film music? I don't know what that means, but this episode has been banned and changed in many places across the world, including America. They have put out an edited version of the episode because there was so much backlash to it. I think, come on, it's the bloody Teletubbies. The Teletubbies shouldn't need censoring or editing anywhere in the world, should it?
No, I mean, I really want to know what that music was now. Was it like gangster rap or something?
I don't, like, yeah. I mean, maybe
what was it? What was this?
Maybe it was a track by Yee. I don't know. There was also, I think, because one of the Teletubbies have like a handbag, and I think in more homophobic places in the world, the Teletubbies were banned as a result of one of the characters potentially being seen as a gay character. But I think the Teletubbies were genderless anyway, weren't they?
I didn't think of them as gendered beings. I never really thought. I just thought one of them had a handbag. I didn't think that that was a boy with a handbag. Very progressive of us, Trev, to not see gender in the Teletubbies, I think.
No. Although slightly worrying that I was watching the Teletubbies when I was probably in my 20s at that point. So, you know, I've sort of admitted to something but shown myself in a good light at the same time. So it's, we all win. other things that have been banned, both Doctor Who and Back to the Future have been banned in China.
Okay, I can't imagine why either of them. I mean, again, I suppose, actually, to be fair, I was a little bit scared by Doctor Who as a small child. I found it a bit scary at times. So maybe, is that why?
No, it's got nothing to do with being frightened or concerned by any of it. It's about the whole idea of time travel. The Chinese government say that time travel in films basically promote feudalism, superstition, fatalism, and reincarnation, and that's something that they don't want the Chinese people to consider. I mean, it's a bit of entertainment, people.
They're taking it a bit too seriously.
The Simpsons has seen some trouble. In China, it is allowed to be shown, but not on prime time, but it's been banned entirely from Myanmar and Venezuela.
It's very specific. Any reason?
Strange reason, this. I'm going to read you this word for word, because this is the exact reason. It's due to the show's frequent juxtaposition of the colours red and yellow, such as in the clothing and skin tone, respectively, of Bart and Lisa. It's reminiscent of colours used in support of rebel groups within the nation.
Blimey. Again, I think overanalyzing a cartoon a bit, but yeah. Fair enough. You do you.
And finally, in several countries, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was banned, but I think that's a good thing.
Did you ever watch it? It was dreadful.
I saw clips. That was enough. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations for you. I've got a few things to recommend. A drama to start with.
Okay. Or what, Netflix?
Channel 5.
Okay.
It's only a... I think it's a four-parter. It's called Coma. It's got Jason Watkins in it. Now, Jason Watkins, he's just a good actor, isn't he?
I can't picture Jason Watkins. Should I know him?
You should know him. He played Christopher Jeffries in that ITV drama about the man who owned the flat next door to the woman who was murdered, and then he was hounded by the press.
Yes, I've just Googled him. I know exactly who he is. Yes, he was also in an episode of Friday Night Dinner.
He was, yes. He played the guy who blinked slowly.
Yes, and he was a thief. Yeah, it was a really funny episode. That was a good one.
He was the wrong friend, wasn't he? The dad had invited the wrong friend.
The wrong Tony, wasn't it?
The wrong Tony, that's it, yeah. So he's a very good actor. And by the way, while I'm talking about him, can I recommend a podcast where he's interviewed by James O'Brien? I think it's the Full Disclosure podcast, because he's a very interesting man, Jason Watkins. He's had an interesting life, sad story. He lost his daughter, I think it was to sepsis, and he talks about that. He's very much involved in awareness raising, but fascinating man. But that's well worth a listen. But the drama called Coma, it's about a family man who has an out of character confrontation with a gang of local youths, and then must face the consequences of his actions. It's very good. It's a bit creepy. My parents watched it, and my dad didn't like the first episode. He said it was almost too... like it could happen. I think, you know, some dramas, well, this is never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a bit too close to the bone, and they found it a bit creepy, my parents, but I really enjoyed it. It's just good drama.
Well, he is a fantastic actor, but I must agree with your parents on this one. It does sound a wee bit bleak, but I'll give it a chance.
If you want something a little bit more lighthearted, I came across, and this is quite old now, but I came across one of Richard Herring's stand-up shows, but in audio form on Spotify, called Christ on a Bike.
Okay.
It is fantastic. I loved every second of it. What I will say is, if you are particularly religious and of the Christian persuasion and are easily offended, this will not be for you.
Oh, this sounds right up my alley, then. This is great.
Right. I thought you'd like it. And I thought, you know, the atheists amongst us would love it. But I'd never come across this show of Richard Herring's before. I've seen other shows he's done, and I always like Richard Herring anyway. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but I always like him. I don't know if it's available to watch somewhere, but this is just the audio version on Spotify. You don't need to see stand-up necessarily, do you? You don't need the visual of a man on a stage. But anyway, that's Christ on a Bike on Spotify.
And can I just ask, do you need a paid subscription to Spotify for that, or will a free one do?
You get the odd advert come in, but
that's fair enough.
That's right. I think maybe three adverts over the course of the hour or so. So it's not too bad at all. I'm going to throw something into Cautionary Corner. Now, this one might be a little bit controversial.
Okay.
But I watched the other night Top Gun Maverick, the long-awaited sequel to the 1980s classic movie Top Gun. It's an Oscar winner, I think. It's raved about left, right and centre. I've heard nothing that bad about it, and I thought, I'm going to give this film a go. I'm not a particular fan of the original first movie. I didn't think it was that good. I don't really like Tom Cruise. But I thought, I'm going to give this film a go. Everyone bangs on about it. What a load of old tosh.
I really
didn't enjoy it at all. I just didn't get any of the excitement. I don't know if you're supposed to feel excited when they're flying around in the planes. There's a bit of jeopardy about it, but not for me.
You see, I've never seen the original, and I've never seen the remake. And the reason I've never really wanted to see it, and it's nothing to do with him at all. I'm sure, I mean, some people might think he's a little strange, but personally, I think he's never done anything to me. I think Tom Cruise is a nice guy. Touch unusual, but fine. We're all a bit unusual. But the whole thing of the Top Gun franchise has always seemed a bit vanity project to me. It seems like a bit of an excuse for him to look really cool in sunglasses flying a plane. And that
Isn't
seems
that
to be
every Tom Cruise film. Basically, Tom Cruise looking cool doing some stunt. It's basically every film he does is Tom Cruise going, look at me, I do my own stunts, aren't I the coolest guy ever?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he is cool, I'll give him that, but that's not enough for me. Anyway, You might like it. I'm just throwing it out there. If you're a bit umming and erring about it, don't bother. Put it aside. That's what I'm going to say. And just the other thing to throw out there is Taskmaster's back. So I'm always excited when there's a new series of Taskmaster.
Excellent. Do we know the full lineup yet?
Yeah, so the lineup on the new series. I think episode one's already gone out, but there's the actress and comedian Sophie Willen. She's famous for a TV show. I must admit, I've not watched this. Alma's Not Normal, but I've seen good things about that. Steve Pemberton is on it, of course.
Oh, from, legends.
League of Gentlemen and Inside Number 9. Joanne McNally, Irish stand-up comedian. Must admit, I'm not aware of her work. John Robbins, stand-up comedian. I know of him. And Nick Mohammed, actor and comedian, who's always good in most things I see him in.
I've got to be honest, I don't really recognise quite a few of those names, but I think it's probably worth watching for Steve Pemberton alone. So I'm probably definitely going to tune into that.
And the great thing about Taskmaster is even if you don't know the people, you soon warm to them. It's very...
Yes.
I don't think there's any series of Taskmaster where there's been someone I don't really know where by the end of it I think, no.
There has been one person on Taskmaster who has got on my tits a bit, but I think out of decency I'm not going to name them. But
will you tell me afterwards?
I'll tell you afterwards.
Excellent. Well, there we are. Lots of things to watch and listen to. Before we wrap up this week, if we can just get a bit serious for a moment. We were very sad, weren't we, Ben, to hear this week that our old radio boss, Paul Chandler, had passed away. I knew he'd been ill, but
yes,
it still comes as a bit of a shock to both of us. We were both knocked a bit sideways by the news.
Yeah, we knew he'd been unwell, but I think the passing of him was very sudden and very shocking.
He was the man who had belief in us, gave us the opportunity to go on the radio and get paid for it. We'd been doing it for nothing, but he'd sort of heard some of our stuff. I think he championed us when he was our boss. He was always very supportive. We didn't always agree with everything that he wanted us to do, but
no,
we tried our best to implement the things he wanted us to do. He was the boss. But we were lucky enough we never got a bollocking off of Paul Chandler. I think he liked what we did and he was always very supportive. So it's very sad. We just want to say he will be missed. He was a massive radio legend. I mean, he was a name I knew from when I was a kid. He was on a TV show called, I think it was called The Lakesiders, and it was sort of a fly on the wall, an early fly on the wall documentary about life in Essex. And he was the programme controller at a radio station called Essex FM. And I remember watching that as a kid, so I knew the name. And when our paths crossed, I thought, wow, this is like, to get the Paul Chandler stamp of approval meant a lot.
Yeah, if you ever were kind enough to listen to us on the radio show we used to be on, you have Paul Chandler to thank for that. He was the, like you say, he was the one who believed in us and gave us a chance when probably millions others wouldn't. Whether you think he's mad for that or not, that's up for debate. But we are very gracious and we'll always remember him fondly for that and many other things.
Yeah, he will be missed. There we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on X, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.